Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
What have high-level diplomacy, Elon Musk, and falling down the jacks got in common? Well, it's time to go over to our US correspondent, Rebecca O'Neill, who is live from New York with all the answers. Isn't that right, Rebecca?
That's right, Jen. Good morning.
Morning. How are you? Now, some breaking news overnight, Rebecca. This week, US diplomats will return to Ukraine following a visit by top US officials to Kyiv. I have a clip. This is Ukrainian-born US representative. And this is what she had to say. Have a listen.
So I think it's important, but it's also strong message for Ukrainian people. They're fighting a big war. And, you know, they're fighting for freedoms and for all of us. And it's important for them to see that supported actually, and it makes them stronger, and they're going to win it. But you know, the visuals of that support and Americans being here, it will be very, very important for them.
Okay, so Rebecca, who was that speaking, and how significant is this move?
Yeah, so as you mentioned there, that was a Ukrainian-born representative, Victoria Sparks. So she's actually Indiana-based, and she's a Republican, and she's kind of emerged here as a leader among the Republican Party for urging the U.S. to do more to help Ukraine defend itself from Russia's attack. You know, she's been calling for more and more help, keeping the pressure on the states to reopen embassies and to give more aid. So yesterday, there was this really shrouded in secrecy, high-level, high-stakes visit by Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. So they met with President Zelensky in the capital in Ukraine. It was the highest ranking U.S. official since the start of the war. You know, and again, this meeting taking place on a weekend where, you know, Russia intensifies attacks, the Odessa residential building hit by that missile, killing 8 people during the big local religious holiday, Orthodox Easter. I mean, day 61. But basically, they've promised Ukraine another $700 million in aid. After the meeting, they've said U.S. diplomats will start returning to the city in the coming week. And Biden is today going to appoint a new ambassador to Ukraine. So really, they're kind of seeing it as a, you know, a powerful signal to Russia that Ukraine, they're not going to leave them left behind. They're putting their money where their mouth is, you know, and they're really hoping that it will actually make a difference.
Are the Fox News crowd still rooting for Putin?
Yeah, my goodness, I know. I mean, when we were talking about one of their stars, you know, his monologues popping up on Russian state television. Now, it has actually changed a little bit, Jen. They have dialed it back a bit, not surprisingly. But, you know, it can sometimes feel like you're nearly watching two different channels, you know, because you can still quite often catch a live interview with Donald Trump. You know, obviously, Trump is still kind of refusing to acknowledge that Putin is evil. And then, you know, you see... Actually, they have war reporting from Fox correspondents who are on the ground. And this disconnect became very disturbingly apparent when, you know, tragically, a few weeks back, they suffered. A Fox News reporter, cameraman and local producer were struck by incoming fire. And, you know, that really kind of put a magnifying glass on some of them, which have faced that growing criticism. But, you know, there still is. In the States, unlike perhaps other countries, there is more of a pro Putin side than you would ever expect to find.
Okay, so can we go to Texas for a second? Can you give us an update of what's happening down there? Because there's a big case at the moment. What's going on?
Yeah, Jen, so later this morning, there's actually going to be it's a matter of life and death. So the fate of a mother, she's set for execution on Wednesday, is going to be decided a little later this morning here. So 53-year-old Melissa Lucio. Now, she's been jailed since 2008 for the murder of her 2-year-old daughter, yet evidence has been suggesting she's innocent. There was, this has garnered a good bit of attention worldwide. You know, a lot of innocent groups have come out and spoken about it. There were so many rallies here right across the country at the weekend, you know, as the time is literally ticking on her life. So, on Wednesday, she could actually become the first Latina executed in the Texas death chamber. So like I said, they have until this morning. The governor there is going to be receiving information from the local parole board there on how to move forward. But I mean, look, she had a tough life, right? She was a mother of 14. She was a victim of domestic violence. And in 2007, her two-year-old daughter died. Now, she, and that's why she's been locked up for 14 years, accused of killing her. Now, her argue that she falsely admitted to killing her daughter, Mariah, after hours of intense police interrogation, and that the two-year-old died tragically and naturally from falling down a steep staircase. But like 100 lawmakers have come from both sides, and Texas is quite divided on a regular day, but both sides, Republicans, Democrats, they want the execution stopped, at least until it becomes reinvestigated. And again, it's really highlighting the familiar feelings here of the nation's criminal justice system. There's been a lot of light lately here given on confession, people giving false confessions after hours of interrogation, and those processes aren't always reliable. And evidence presented as scientific that's since been questioned, an adequate defense and gender bias. So there's just so much, so much work being done here. Kim Kardashian is one of the celebrities that have come out behind her. And like I said, lawmakers from all sides of the political spectrum are really, really hoping that she may still be saved.
So Wednesday is, they're going to make a decision on Wednesday if she's going to be executed or it's going to be put off or saved.
So later this morning, so the Texas Board of Pardons and Parole, so they're going to be deciding what course of action to recommend to the governor.
Okay.
When he receives them, that it's up to them, him. So he has a number of options. So he can do nothing, and she will indeed be executed on Wednesday. He can issue a stay of execution, which would give her a delay, or he can just grant her clemency. So it really, there's just so much tension and everybody really just waiting for any news on this here in the next few hours.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. And speaking of Texas, they're trying to tempt Disney to relocate because a Florida governor has been making national headlines there for his beef with Mickey Mouse. What's been going on there?
Yeah, so the local governor of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, so he's a Republican, he's up for re-election in November, over this weekend, actually started on Friday, so he signed legislation really that's not going to do good for Disney. So he stripped the theme park of a decades-old special agreement that allowed it to govern itself. Did you know this? I'm sure a lot of Irish families have been there. It's actually self-governing, so it has its own ambulance and jail, everything internally.
I didn't know that.
They rule, yeah. So, what's interesting, and obviously critics are very worried about this, is his move, using politics. His move came in response to Disney's criticism of a new state law there, which has been condemned by critics as "Don't Say Gay," and this essentially prohibits classroom discussion about sexual orientation and gender identity for elementary students, so young kids. And he basically calls out Disney for being woke. Because they came under pressure from their staff and spoke up against the bill that was really going to hurt teachers and students, literally banning any discussion of any gay issues. And then there was another bill basically upping the tax on them. So really coming down hard on them and really a precedent being set here because, he's putting political force for somebody who just doesn't agree with his politics. And it's also rather an unusual move for Republicans. They're very typically against government involvement. But, everyone, we're so entrenched here stateside in these cancel cultures and woke wars. So there's all these, some of them, frankly, outrageous articles about Disney and what they're trying to, teach our kids and somebody think about the children. So it's very worrying.
Let's talk about Elon Musk and Twitter. This has been causing ructions online, Elon Musk's Twitter takeover bid. But some breaking news on this overnight. What's happening?
Yeah, so this has been getting wall-to-wall coverage here, Jen. Everyone's obsessed with Elon Musk, so, the world's richest man. So overnight, it's come out that the company are negotiating with him. So he wooed investors with details of a $43 billion offer. They're saying they're moving closer to a possible deal. Now, this is after them rejecting it, coming out with this poison pill. The Twitter employees were having absolute freak attacks. What's going to happen? Because, Elon is a bit of a troll and he's really, he can be quite chaotic. He'll just kind of tweet whatever he wants and not really ever think of the ramifications, he always puts weed 420 in his prices. He sells health short shorts, actually as merchandise, you know, two fingers to the final word, short, you know. SpaceX, he's a Tesla, major influence with space and with, you know, innovation. He's also famous for being Grimes' baby daddy. They have two children together. I won't attempt to say their names. They're very, very bizarre names. But, you know, people are fascinating with him. But there's been a lot of back and forth on this, you know, and it'll just be interesting to see whether the company, you know, so the offer as it stands, he's offered to buy them outright for $43 billion. That works out about $72.87 per share.
What's his interest in Twitter, though? I mean, why Twitter?
So why Twitter? So he's come out and he's always been a big Twitter user. I mean, he tweeted over the weekend, moving on, while this deal was happening. So people were like, hang on, what's he talking about now? Is he talking about the deal? But he was actually talking about, you know, a prior tweet that he had sent with the emoji of a pregnant man slagging off Bill Gates. I mean, that's just a little snapshot of his behavior on Twitter. Okay. It's quite erratic for all the successes he's had. But he's obsessed with Twitter. He always has been. He's always crying out for free speech. You know, he said in his official, in the regulatory filing, he said the company couldn't be a, quote, platform for free speech around the globe without drastic changes. You know, he thinks it needs to be transformed as a private company. He doesn't believe in the likes of, there's been a lot of talk over, does he actually believe, would he reinstate Trump? Or he doesn't believe in any kind of censorship, but there is worry on both sides of, you know, how this is going to all pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, hopefully we'll find out soon. What's the story from last week about the fellow who sued after being thrown an office birthday party?
I know. I mean, if we've all been there, I mean, pure cringe, just kind of. Well, I won't talk on 2FM. I haven't had the pleasure of being here. I'm sure there are a lot.
They're all cringe.
But, you know, you're there waking the worst small talk with a head of HR or something around a photocopier with some manky cake. But look, this guy, right? So a Kentucky man, and he suffered from an anxiety disorder. And this unwanted celebration actually results in a sizable windfall. So basically, his job threw him a surprise birthday, even though he'd already said to his manager, listen, I can't do the surprise birthday because I have an anxiety disorder. It's going to give me a panic attack. This was filed back in 2019 with Gravity Diagnostics. But they actually ignored his request. They did have the party. He did become upset to the point of having to leave. He finished lunch in his car. He then, a day after the party, he was called into a meeting to discuss his reaction. He was criticised for the way he acted. And then his lawyer is saying that this confrontation triggered another panic attack. And he was essentially fired then for his panic attack, for his reaction to the party that he said, don't throw me because I'm going to have
a panic attack. How much did he get?
Attack. He got $450,000. So there's been so much talk about it all week. It's a lot of money for putting up with your annoying colleague talking about it.
I don't know. I think he's warranted.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. In the discrimination side of things, I mean, look, he did say, I have an anxiety disorder. Please don't do it. And, you know, the company claimed it was just something that kind of they forgot about or obviously didn't take too seriously. So they will be taking very seriously in the future so as not to be hit with another
450 grand.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.